last Friday morning, yesterday morning, I went up to the convent to say Mass. And it was my first time to say Mass there since my holidays. And it was therefore the first time for me to say Mass with the nuns using the new translations of the scriptures. And it was the feast of Saints Cornelius and Cyprian. Now, I know that you all know all about Saints Cornelius and Cyprian, but just in case one or two of you don't, let me just remind you. They were friends. They lived at the end of the 3rd century, or the middle of the 3rd century, rather. Just 50 or 60 years before the empire itself would become Catholic. Cornelius was the Pope in Rome, the Bishop of Rome, and Cyprian, his friend, lived across the Mediterranean, in Carthage, and he was the Bishop of Carthage. And great friends that they were both persecuted under the Roman persecutions, which were still going on. Little did they realize that so soon the end of these persecutions would come. They were the persecutions of the Emperor Valerian. And both of them suffered, both of them died under these persecutions. But Saint Cyprian, who was the Bishop of Carthage, we have a very detailed account about his life. He wrote a lot, so we can understand something of his spirituality and his outlook. And what is more, there was kept a very strict account of his trial and what happened afterwards. And the trial was remarkable for being very polite on both sides. And Cyprian was condemned to death and to execution, to be beheaded by the sword. And as he was being led out, all the congregation went out with him, clamoring to be executed for Christ along with their bishop. And when he got to the place of execution, Cyprian gave the executioner 25 golden pieces for the work he was about to do. What fantastic faith, what enthusiasm for Christ existed in those early days of the church, not just among the bishops and the priests, but among the ordinary people. All of those people, a great crowd, it says in the report, shouting, clamoring to be executed along with their bishop for the name of Christ. Now, why I'm telling you this is because at the same time, across the Mediterranean, in Pope Cornelius's church in Rome, the Eucharistic prayer that would sustain the church right down the centuries, which we now know as the Roman Eucharistic prayer or the First Eucharistic prayer, that Eucharistic prayer was in the process of being composed. Of course, it was composed in Latin because that was the language that the church in Rome spoke at that time. And what is very evident about that Latin prayer is that somehow it expresses that fervor, that devotion, that faith, that love of Christ. The words chosen, the phrases chosen, express that wonderful spirit that existed in the church in those days. And that Latin Eucharistic prayer inspired the church right down the centuries, right down into our own time. Then, of course, came the Second Vatican Council, when it was decided that the liturgy would be translated into English, into the vernacular, and this Latin Eucharistic prayer was translated. Now, it was the early 70s, following, of course, the 60s. The 60s was a very irreverent time in so many ways. And somehow this new translation caught something of the spirit of the age. It lost that tremendous sense of reverence for God. My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, my ways above your ways, the scripture says today. That reverence towards Almighty God was somehow kind of lost in translation. And that sense of holiness about the Eucharist was somehow lost in the translation. We got a kind of chummy relationship with God in the translation. We put up with it and we learned to love it because we had no other choice. But the church wasn't happy with that translation. It wasn't doing justice to that wonderful, exquisite prayer which we knew in Latin. I knew it off by heart in Latin, the first Eucharistic prayer. And so for many years now, 12 years I think, the church has been working on a translation of it. And this Pope particularly insisted that the translation be absolutely faithful, utterly faithful, word for word faithful to the Latin. People objected. They said, you can't translate something exactly word for word. It won't sound right in English. But the Pope insisted, and we have received now this translation. And it expresses again something of that fervour, something of that tremendous, tremendous respect for God, something of that tremendous love for Christ that existed in that early church. I was just wondering if Bishop Edwin, our bishop, if times changed and Bishop Edwin was being executed for his faith, would you and I go out with him, clamouring to be beheaded along with him for the sake of Christ? I wonder. And yet that is the faith that we should have. That is the devotion to Christ that we should have. This is the reverence for God that we should have. And it was that spirit that expressed itself in that Eucharistic prayer. And now it's come full circle. It's that Eucharistic prayer which is going to inspire you and me to renew our sense of the majesty and the glory and the sacredness of God and the holiness of Christ and the sacredness of this sacrifice of the Mass. Today, the Church in this country is celebrating the first anniversary of the Pope's visit to our country last year. And he was so keen that our spirit should be revived. It was expected to be a flop, and it was a terrific success. And he was so keen that we should renew ourselves and revive ourselves with our Christian spirit. And it is he who has insisted that this Latin Eucharistic prayer be translated, bringing back that ancient spirit of the early church, that ancient fervour and enthusiasm for Christ. And there's no better way, I don't think, that you and I can celebrate the visit of the Holy Father to keep his mission alive than to listen carefully to this Eucharistic prayer every time we come to Mass and to try and enter into that same spirit of reverence and fervour. Now, in our Welsh Mass, we say the Eucharistic prayer, of course, in Welsh. But today, we're not going to. Today, because of what I've been saying in my sermon, we're going to have that first Roman Eucharistic prayer in English. I want you to listen to it very carefully and to notice how devout and spiritual and holy it is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.